Good morning. It's Monday, March 9th. Thank you for tuning in to Deprogram with Ted Rall and John Kiriakou. John Kiriakou either looks very different or he's being substituted by Robbie West. I'm not sure which it is. Robbie West is our producer. John is traveling this morning, and we were originally told that John would be joining us for about half the show, and then Robbie would probably have to fill in for the last half while John ran from one flight to the next. I kind of wanted to see him running through the terminal and, you know, with the, all jostling while he did the show. But we don't know where he is. We texted him this morning and he went straight to text. The text went undelivered and the voicemail goes straight to his phone. So straight, no ring. So obviously he's still on the first flight and hasn't gotten off, hasn't deplaned, as they say in the awkward terminology of aviation. So thanks for joining us. If John does pop in and grace us with his presence, we'll just put him on. So this is like, this may be Deprogram with Ted Rall and John Kiriakou. It may not be. It may be partly John. I don't know. Is that a fulsome enough explanation, Robbie?
Well, it's kind of like American foreign policy. You never quite know what you're going to get. I mean,
or what the reasons are.
Reasons for suckers. You don't need reasons. You just need to just bow your head bovinely and say, absolutely, my dear sweet orange Jesus, whatever it is that you think is best, I fully consent to whatever it is that you want to do. And that's kind of like how our show is when it comes to John's travel schedule, because, well, he is an international man of mystery. He's always going. There's nothing going on in the world causing chaos. And so everything is running along as it should be.
Indeed. As all for the best in this best of all possible worlds, as they said in Candide. Robbie, before we get to, obviously, we're going to be talking about the economy, we're going to be talking about Iran, we're going to be talking about the ecological disaster that's unfolding in Tehran that probably will have consequences for years to come. But I wanted to ask you, and I know, I don't think we've talked about this much, but I talked a little bit about it with my DMZ co-host, Scott Stantis, last week. The more I game it out, right? The way my mind works is it's kind of like I look like trying to solve a Rubik's cube, right? Like I turn it around, look at one side, then I look at the other side, then I'm like, and it takes me a while to kind of like game things out from when I don't understand what's going on. I think we can all say, you know, Trump does not want us to understand what's going on or why he's doing things. The more I think about it, the more I think he's going to cancel this election. And as well as the presidential one. And the reason I think that is if he doesn't cancel if he leaves the presidency, he becomes vulnerable to, all the felony charges that are pending against him in the federal courts will resume in 2020 on January 20th, 2029. And lawfare will go back and he could very well be facing prison again. Any of us would do anything to avoid that, anything. And I'm thinking, well, so he has to avoid it. The only way he can avoid it is coming up with some excuse to cancel these elections. And, you know, you'd start with the midterm because people won't care that much about the midterm. And then they're kind of used to not having an election by 2028. So maybe they won't really freak out. And by that time, we'll have more authoritarianism. I know it's a lot of ifs, right? But the basically bottom line is no 2028 election, working backwards. Let's start with 2026, no election. And therefore, Trump can stay in office. And therefore, everything else makes sense if you think about it that way. Because if he doesn't care about popular will, well, a war is always a good excuse for a national emergency, right? Mm-hmm. Incoming attack, whatever. And you don't really care about getting, you know, buy-in from the public because after all, you're not really running again and your party's not really running again. I don't know.
Well, you got to remember, I mean, at the end of the day, all we're doing is adopting the Ukrainian style of democracy. It's very streamlined. It's not sloppy. There's no corruption. You don't have to worry about no campaign finance. You have to worry about those pesky election laws. You don't have to worry about
no annoying debates.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very streamlined system. You get to vote for the party and man of your choice that is offered. which is conveniently one, and it just makes things really efficient. I don't have a problem with this. It's
so what do you think? You think I mean you can just say, Ted, you're paranoid as shit. Shut up. I mean, what do you think?
Well, I agree with you. And I mean, 6 months ago, I would have thought that she had TDS. 3 months ago, I would have thought that she had TDS.
And I never had TDS, as you know.
No. I mean, you're a very fair-minded person. You're much more fair-minded than I am.
I'm just trying to think, like, what I would do if I were him.
You do whatever you want. I mean, seriously, who's going to stop you? Who's going to stop him?
I was talking to Santis yesterday, and he's like, well, would the American people put up with that? I said, you tell me how it looks. Do you think this is like a real country like Pakistan where 2 million people would head out into the streets and ready to have a revolution? No. We would have 200 sad people in Union Square Park in New York City. You'd have 150 in Lafayette Park across from the White House. Nothing would happen. The Democratic Party's not going to do anything. The media's not going to do anything. Who's going to stop them?
Well, the thing is, serious question for you. You're the lefty here on the show. I'm the far right extremist. Can you explain to me, seriously, on a postcard, what are the differences between the Republican and the Democratic parties? What are the policy differences? Where do they differ?
It's mainly about style at this point. Well, I guess you could say the immigration policy is different, right? Like the but mass deportations were bigger under Obama than they are under Trump. And they were definitely, maybe not as, open in the streets of major cities, but it was basically the same policy. I mean, policies are about this, are the same for both parties. They're both capitalist parties. They don't care about working class people at all. I take your point, but I mean, I guess obviously the Democrats would rather be feeding at the trough, but they can fundraise out of power just as easily as being in power, in some ways more easily.
Well, I mean, that's true. And here's the thing. Here's where I would push back on you a little bit about Obama, is that he counted people who were turned away at the borders, deportations. So he's kind of inflated his numbers. So
that's true.
So there's that. Also, I think it's fair to say, honestly, that this is government by donor, i.e. government by oligarch. If the United States government system was any other country, we would call that country an oligarchy, and rightly so, because it is. So why can't we just be honest about what it is that we are? We are an oligarchy. The government does not fear the people, and if the government does not have a healthy fear of the government, how can you possibly have a representative government? You can't. By definition, you can't.
And like I said, nothing is going to happen if these elections are suspended. I mean, there will be, some very highly peaceful and therefore useless protests, but that's about it. Okay, well, we're going to obviously follow that, line of inquiry. But we do have to talk about Iran first and foremost today. So it's now 9 minutes past the hour of 9 o'clock here in New York City. The stock market opens up in 21 minutes. Futures on the Dow Jones Industrial Average are down 1,000 points. That's after a major sell-off all last week. And we're looking at oil prices. This is shocking. Just a few weeks ago, oil was trading at $60 a barrel. Right now, we're at 102.64. So that is a 67% or more increase in crude oil prices over the course of less than a month. That is an oil shock that can only really be compared to OPEC. I mean, in the oil crisis in the mid-70s that I grew up with, I mean, it's major. I mean, this is going to have a ripple effect through the economy. It's another reason that I don't think, President Trump or the Republicans are going to dare face the electorate this fall, because they're going to get destroyed. I mean, people are going to just vote against the incumbency, which is what you do in a two-party system where you hate both parties. And the politics of this are super, super ugly. I mean, these prices are not going to go down anytime soon. Trump says it's temporary. I'm like, sure. I mean, in the long run, everything's temporary, but we'll all be dead too, to quote Milton Friedman.
I mean, temporary compared to what?
I mean, this is going to be massive. I mean, it already is massive. I mean, you know, you've got the Strait of Hormuz is effectively closed. You know, container ships, oil tankers are stuck. You know, nobody with half a brain is going to try to run that strait except for Iranian flagged vessels. So, you know, I mean, you're just this, and the stock market is nervous as shit. Robbie, why is Donald Trump not scared of the economic impact here?
Because he doesn't care. I mean, listen, at the end of the day, and Ted, you know this better than anybody, you're a freaking communist of all people. This is the case I was trying to make with Achilles Larea last week, was that rising prices impacts workers and the poor and the middle class more than it does the rich. That is a statement of fact. If you're insulated from that, if you don't go and shop for your own groceries or go fill up your own gas tank, or if you're making, you know, $20,000 a month or
more. Speaking of gas prices, quick interjection, right? Gas prices have now gone up over a full dollar a gallon in a week. In a week.
Yep. Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
I mean, that's just what I'm saying, though. I mean, no, Trump doesn't care. It's not a crisis for him if the cost of transportation goes up, if the cost of oil goes up, if the cost of food goes up. That's an investment opportunity. That's the point I was trying to make last week, is that, yeah, I mean, you're over here talking about bankers and investors. I get it. You're a wealth management guy. I understand. That's your business model. For you, this is good. But for people who are trying to root hog or die.
You're talking about Achilles Larea.
Yeah. But if you're trying to root hog or die, this is a crisis. And the absolute last thing that you want to do is have a pissed off electorate to go vote. Here's the question. And I mean this sincerely, again, because you're a man of the left. What is the difference between the Democrat and the Republican? One's going to drop a bomb with an American flag, the other one with a rainbow flag. What is the policy difference? Would the Democrats end this war? Would they put Bibi Netanyahu in his place? Would they tell the Israel lobby to go screw themselves? Would they declare independence from the cabal that's running Washington, D.C.? To answer all those questions, and we both know this, is no. So what's the difference? Why would you go vote? Why would you care? Why would you waste your precious gas to go vote in a meaningless election that will change absolutely nothing?
Well, that's right. I mean, who's going to fucking die over an election? Adam Tube over on YouTube says, Ted, why can't the people dissolve Congress and House and reset with tougher vetting? Well, first of all, only a certain percentage of House seats. Well, no, that's not even true. That's the Senate. But the people can't just dissolve the House every, you know, whenever they want. We don't have a parliamentary system, so it doesn't work that way. We have to wait for the election. It's every 2 years. And a lot of congressmen effectively run unopposed, in some cases actually run unopposed. You know, it always shocks me, but 2 out of 3 elected offices in this country, like in a lot of state house, state senate seats, have literally one party rule where the candidate runs. There's one party and there's no opposing party on the other. And that happens even in big cities like here in New York. There's tons of positions like judgeships where the Democrats run unopposed.
I mean, the closest thing, honestly, that the American system had, we used to have, to nullifying federal law was called nullification, conveniently enough. And there are times in U.S. history that has been used. That's the whole argument between states' rights versus federal supremacy. That argument was settled on April 9th, 1865. I believe it was settled wrongly, but no, there we are. I mean, the mechanism for the states to check the federal government is baked into the Constitution in the 9th and 10th amendments. The states themselves can refuse to follow federal law. They can do this. That is a power that they have. The problem is that all of our governors and all of our legislatures are so cucked and so brainwashed that they simply will not do it.
No, they won't. They just won't do it. Is it rational? Saying that the Dow's at 50,000. Just, I beg to differ. The Dow is actually at 47,500, and it is going to drop another 1,000 points as soon as the opening bell goes off. Let's thank you very much, Brady Okerlund, for the 1999 donation on YouTube. Hey, Ted, quick question. If regime change and escalation don't work, what actually stops Iran and its proxies from getting bolder? It feels like years of restraint and limited consequences haven't really changed their behavior. You know, I think it's, you know, I think that's maybe one way to look at it from the Western point of view. Another way to look at it is from their point of view, right? Where the Iranians feel that they've had measured responses to U.S. and Israeli provocations, like the assassination of General Soleimani 6 years ago, the attacks against the nuclear program in and I do mean not nuclear weapons, I mean nuclear energy program in Iran. And they, you know, sort of had like some performative drone attacks where they sort of notified in advance, here come drones, here they come. But I think for the Iranians, they know they're, as John said last week several times, they're in an existential battle for their lives. And I guess to me, this is, you know, well, what stops Iran from and his proxies from getting bolder? Well, you know what they say, like the song says from the 70s, freedom is another word for nothing left to lose, right? I mean, they've had to deal with U.S. sanctions for 47 years. They had, as soon as their revolution happened, they had to deal with our Iraqi proxies attacking them. You know, they've put up with a lot of shit from us over the years. And yes, they've struck back. But I mean, you know, it's warmongering 101, right? What you do is you one side, you attack the other side over and over. And if they respond, then you just claim that the war began on that date. and you pretend that you're just responding to them. That's all that you're dealing with here. And parenthetically, I just want to say that I hate daylight savings time.
Yes.
Anyway, so let's see. Okay, we have a few more questions, and then we'll talk about the ecocidal maniacs who are destroying Tehran. So is it rational, says breaking news, U.S. urges all Americans out of southern Turkey, non-essential consulate staff in Adana. I mean, that's, we've seen that kind of thing all over the Middle East where consular and ambassadorial representation is being shut down. So, I mean, you know, that region is spinning out of control. Pittsburgh dude, the illusion of our elections is that by having them, it cancels any change. No matter who we vote for, we get John McCain. I like that.
Yeah, I wish I could say he's wrong. He's not. And also, is it rational? One thing I was point out about the doubt of 50,000, that was straight up a jab at Pam Bondi. But no, when she was testifying before Congress, I guess you'd call it testifying. I don't know what you would say in the real world. When she just kept saying, oh, the Dow's over 50,000.
Performing.
Yeah. I mean, now the only thing she had going forward now no longer exists because of a war her boss started. And her boss is not Trump. It's Bibi Netanyahu. Trump's middle management. Let's just be honest.
By the way, just if you're just joining us, John Kiriakou is trying to join the show between flights, and we just haven't heard hide nor hair of him. So we'll see if he shows up. If he does, we'll pop him on right away, of course, obviously. Yeah. Let's see, both part. Yeah. Thanks for the dollar from Unsung Pat. The difference is where they deposit their donations. Don't blame the politicians. They're doing exactly what a politician does as defined. One who is actively involved or skilled in politics. Fair, but they're also corrupt. Unsung Pat also said, a republic, if we can keep it, your boyfriend, your BF, Robbie, can you remind me where the power lies in a republic and which branch of government derives that power? My guess is $$$$ CREAM.
Well, it depends on what power it is that you're talking about, at least what's supposed to be. When the United States was first founded, there were actually four branches of government. You had the executive, you had the legislative, you had the judicial, and then you had the states themselves. Those are the four pillars. Now we have three. Of those three, the second one, the legislative, has completely ceded its authority to the executive. So I don't really know what powers any other branch of government has. I mean, sure, you have the Supreme Court that can come out and say, oh, in our opinion, this is right or this is wrong. But it's up to the executive to enforce those decisions. So I don't know. I mean, the system doesn't work anymore.
I mean, or is it working exactly the way that it was intended to?
No, I mean, that's obviously not true, because the founding fathers were incredibly suspicious of exactly what it is that we have now. They wanted a diluted power system where you had separation of powers, and with the majority of the powers reserved to the states and to the people. I mean,
correct me if I'm wrong, Robbie, but I mean, my understanding was that they expected that all the branches of government would be jealously guarding their prerogatives and would fight for to protect them, right?
Yep.
And that, I guess what they never counted on was systemic corruption, where people would be willing to be bought off and would be sold at a relatively low price and be, you know, like, imagine being a member of Congress under Speaker Mike Johnson, where you're just a rubber stamp. I mean, it must be very boring. You don't really, you know, they're not really part of the conversation, or be in the court system where, you know, you issue an order and it just gets ignored and brushed off. I mean, it's got to be so dispiriting. Like, what's the point?
Well, that's a question I have. What's the point of having a Congress? What, serious question, what do they do? Can someone explain to me, what does Congress do? Like, they can't even kill daylight savings time.
I know. Well, you know, what's so funny is the pending, there is a law that's been pending to get rid of the time change. But Robbie, this is so funny, right? So the average American would get 17 minutes of sleep per night additional, according to studies, if we had standard time year round. Now, that might 17 minutes might not sound like a lot, but imagine if you have an extra hour every 4 days, right? So roughly 90, you know, full hours of sleep a year. That's going to impact our national health, right, in a favorable way. So what's every expert says, we just need to get rid of daylight savings time and just have standard time. So the law that's pending before Congress does the exact opposite and keeps us on daylight savings time forever and gets rid of standard time. And it's because we're children, because we like getting out of work at 5 o'clock at night and having a little bit of light to drive home with. But meanwhile, our kids would be having to go to school in the pitch dark in the morning.
Well, there's that. But also, do you remember what my previous job was before I started working for you full time, right?
I do.
So one thing I can tell you with absolute certainty, the number of heart attacks and stroke go up by about 7% for the first 3 months after time change. That is a statistical fact.
I know right now I feel like a little bit like I was thrown, like I was out partying last night. I feel like shit this morning. I'm a little jet lagged, and it's only an hour. It's not like I just flew to Baku.
Yeah, it sucks.
Sneaker Dad, thank you so much for the generous donation of $100. Do you think the Don might get his regime change, only not the ones he wanted, i.e. Qatar, UAE? You know, that is a good question, and one that I also want to ask John when he shows up. I'm sure we'll have John back tomorrow at least. I think there's a chance of that, right? I mean, look, the Iranian government could fall. It could. But I just think that's not likely. I mean, by the way, they've appointed, obviously, Ali Khamenei's son, Mojtaba, is now the new supreme leader. Israel's, of course, threatening to kill him. He's Shia. He doesn't care. But he's probably also like, you killed my dad. I know what's in the mail here. But I could see the Emiratis and, their street is restive and does not agree with their government's, you know, tacit support for Israel against a fellow Muslim country, even if they're Shia.
Well, it's just crazy because for those of you who do not follow Ted on X, I highly recommend that y'all do it, because one of the things I've started doing is I've started animating his cartoons because I don't have enough to do. So I am now animating his cartoons. And one of the cartoons that I animated is this guy watching the TV pointing at it, said, look at those Chinese and those Iranians protesting for their rights. And then his wife speaks up and said, honey, that's in Minneapolis. And it breaks the guy's brain. And here we are. Trump is calling for mass protests while, by the way, engaged in collective punishment, waging war against the people in Tehran, not the government of Tehran, the people of Tehran, which is a war crime, calling for them to protest. Meanwhile, if you try to protest here in the United States, at best, you just don't get a permit, which why you need a permit to protest breaks my brain.
You shouldn't need a protest permit. It's I mean, like if we have a First Amendment, why do you need a parade permit to protest?
You don't. I mean, that's dumb. It's just like having to get a license to get a gun. You don't need to do that. I mean,
right. No, I agree. If you have a Second Amendment, then why do you need that?
Yeah. So, I mean, the fact that the Trump administration cracks down on protests here in this country, whenever Americans can rouse themselves, get enough vigor to actually go out on a sunny day and chant for an hour on the side of a road, and that's considered uncouth. Meanwhile, he wants to go and encourage the people of Iran to protest at the same time while he tries to squelch it here. Peak hypocrisy.
Evan M. Not a Wu-Tang guy, Ted. You know, I'm a punk and new wave guy. That's just this is what I was just listening to before the show. All right. So, and the fact that it's a CD tells you how old I am. Although I heard from my local CD store owner that CDs are coming back.
Now, all things old are coming back. My son, he has a record player, and he's been buying Marty Robbins.
Vinyl's been back for decades, though. I mean, vinyl represents a significant percentage of music sales in the United States, and it just keeps going up. It's really weird. Okay, so let's see. I'm trying to go work through the questions here. Skin Inchy, what do you think? Do we think Benjamin Netanyahu knows Trump is in the Epstein files? Maybe because they stole the info, or he was there, and that's why Trump is so easily bombing Iran. I mean, certainly there's been a lot of discussion about this war being a distraction from the Epstein files. I think it's a contributing factor. I don't think it's the main thing. What do you think?
No, I mean, it's Ted. I mean, you're mentioned in the Epstein files.
True.
Everybody is mentioned in the Epstein files.
Clovis.
No, I mean, this is about money and influence peddling. The United States government is the cheapest horse government that any lobby can buy. And the Zionist lobby has got more money than just about anybody else. And so they use that money to buy Congress like a bunch of cheap whores. And that's how they get what they want. Don't forget, 20 years ago, I want to say it was 20 years ago. It could have just been 15. BB was caught on mic talking about how he owns Congress, that he owns Congress.
Is he wrong?
No, he's not wrong. Look where we are. Does Congress care about what the American people want, or does Congress care about what Israel wants?
I mean, we've been told, I mean, basically you and I mean, we've been buying the line that, you know, we're doing this war for Israel, but it's actually worse than that because we're literally holding hands with them. They're not even like behind the scenes. It's literally the entire world sees the U.S. and Israel together launching a war of choice just for fun.
I mean, where's the controversy with that? Was the American population consulted before this war got started? Has Trump even come on TV and explained to us why we have to put up with this economic pain? Has he come in and made the case for this war that he started, not Congress? Congress didn't declare this war. He started this war on behalf of a foreign nation for a foreign lobby. And our president, the American president, does not have these stones to even come on and lie to us.
Yeah, that's the thing. He doesn't even think, we are even, you know, we're not even worth, like, it's kind of like someone who's like, you know, cheats on their wife and their wife and they don't even think they owe their wife a lie about like where they were last night. It's just like, yeah, where were you last night? Shut up. Make exactly. Do my laundry, bitch. That's literally what it's like. Adam Tube, Ted, who audits and holds if all heads of branches of government are implicated in the Epstein scandal? Chief Justice Roberts in a picture cuddling with Maxwell, rotten top to bottom. Who prosecutes this? I mean, it's actually a miracle, Robbie, that even we've gotten to see any files at all, and that there's even been like a law that like has ordered the release of the documents, even though it hasn't been complied with. I mean, it's a miracle that the pressure got anywhere at all, but obviously the broader point is, yeah, the system is corrupt from top to bottom, and Epstein's only part of it.
Well, even Hitler cared about public opinion polls.
Yeah,
he did. I mean, there is that. No king stays king for very long if he doesn't at least pretend to listen to the people some of the time.
This is a great question, Robbie. Edward Clark, sorry to step on you there. You know, sometimes people, you know, when we're doing this through the StreamYard link, you know, there's like a half second delay. And so that ends up like, you know, John will be saying something and I'll step on him saying something. And it's because I don't know he's still talking. And it's a little bit, so that's kind of like why that happens. Anyway, Adam Tube, sorry that we already had that one. Edward Clark is just joining in. Thoughts on boots on the ground in Iran? And did you see Carolyn Leavitt talking about drafting soldiers? You know, a week ago, I would have said there's no chance we're going to have boots on the ground. I'm not so sure now, Robbie. I mean, I think it's entirely possible. I mean, they're greasing the skids for it by saying that there's not going to be any other way to secure the uranium stockpiles that may still be buried under that collapsed nuclear facility.
I mean, at this point, it wouldn't surprise me. And that's one of the things that I kind of got into a debate, you know, with my pastor at church. I'm like, no, most Christian evangelicals, he's a Zionist. I am not. And he was talking about, you know, how it is our duty under the Abrahamic covenant to support Israel. And so my pushback to that was, okay, well, let's just pretend for a moment that we don't live in a theocracy. Instead, we supposedly live under a republic. Do you think Congress should be required to declare war? You call yourself a conservative. He couldn't give me an answer. And so to answer your question, nothing would surprise me at this point. If Trump said tomorrow that the Iranian people have failed, they're not fighting for themselves, they're being oppressed or whatever. And if he says that we need 200,000 troops to go into Iran, I could see it happening. And I don't see any pushback from either political party. And
I think there'll be a draft, though. You know, I don't think there's going to be like a massive. I mean, we do have a pretty large standing army, and they don't. I think a draft is where you would get resistance, right? I mean, during the Vietnam War, so the last time we had an active military draft, it's because, like, you know, middle class and working class and rich white people, not so much the last group, but still some of them. Had to watch their sons go off to war and sometimes come back in bags and, you know, flag draped coffins. And that's what really drove the opposition to the war.
But here's the difference, though. Back in the 60s, we actually had this thing called an economy. We don't have that anymore. There's a lot of people now who are unemployed, who are underemployed, who are barely scraping by. And if Uncle Sam said, hey, if you join today or if you get drafted, we'll pay you $80,000 a year for this because you're in combat pay and everything else. How many people would sign up for that? A lot.
Robbie, we're the stock market's now been open for 3 minutes. We're in the middle of a major sell-off. The stock market is the Dow Jones Industrial Average has plunged 552 points. That's over 1% of overall market value in just a few minutes. S&P 500 is down 1%. NASDAQ down 0.88. New York Stock Exchange Composite Index down 1.19. We haven't found the floor yet. It's still falling. We're at 46,974. We'll keep you up to date on that. So, if I'm a Republican congressman, I'm like, we better not have these elections.
But if I was in Congress and had a Democratic challenger, I would just straight up ask him, where would you differ with my policies? Where would you vote against me? What is it that I am doing that you would do differently? Would you vote for a war powers resolution? Would you vote for a balanced budget amendment? Would you, Mr. Democrat, vote for any of the things that people care about? Would you vote for universal health care? If the answer is no, why should they vote for you?
Good question. So thank you again for tuning into Deep Program with Ted Rawl and John Kiriakou. If you're just joining us, Robbie West is filling in for John Kiriakou, who was traveling this morning and was hoping to join us for at least part of the show And I'm assuming he's probably not going to make it at this point, but anything's possible. If he does, we'll pop him right in. Robbie, do we have any ads by any chance?
I will check and see. We got some piling up here on the back end chat. So I'll look at that, see if there's anything that grabs your sweet little brain.
Let's see. Nixon Pro 4339. Thanks for the $2.79 Canadian. As a Canadian, what do you guys think of Carney?
He's a clown.
I do think he's he gave a good speech that time. That's about it.
Yeah.
That's about all I can say. Sneaker Dad's asking, does Clovis watch the YouTube Cat TV channel? So I did show that to him one time, and he will never be allowed to watch it again because he almost broke my computer. He was going back and forth from the front and then to the back to see where the birds and small animals were. And he wouldn't stop meowing, and it was just driving me absolutely insane. I'm like, no more. All right.
Yeah, we got the ad up, and then the ad is up now.
Okay, thanks. All right, so today's sponsor is the Chicago Steak Company, and they're giving away 4 free steaks on every order. The code is BPSIR free. Do you ever buy steaks at the grocery store and it's just a total gamble? You're standing there staring at shrink-wrapped mystery cuts, trying to figure out which one might actually be decent. And half the time you get home, cook it, and it's just fine. Nothing special. Chicago Steak Company is the opposite of that. USDA prime and upper choice, hand-selected by butchers in Chicago, wet-aged 28 to 40 days, vacuum-sealed, and shipped on dry ice right to your door. Every cut is hand-carved, no guessing. Here's the part I really like. Spend $199 or more, any steaks, your choice. Use code BPSIRFREE, and they throw in 4 bourbon peppercorn sirloins for free. Plus free shipping. These are 6-ounce top sirloins with a cracked peppercorn and bourbon rub. Lean, beefy, bold flavor. Throw them on a hot grill and they're done in minutes. That's $160 in free steaks. 15,000 5-star reviews. These guys are the real deal. Go to mychicagosteak.com/rumble. Code BPSIR free. That's BPSIR free. The link is in the description. Okay, still no John Kiriakou, and my messages to him are still not marked delivered. So I'm assuming we're not going to hear from him. Let's talk about the ecocide aspect of all this. So over the weekend, the United States and Israel blew up 4 oil depots and a petroleum logistics site in and outside of the city of Tehran, deliberately triggering an ecological disaster in a city of over 9 million people. There's thick black smoke covering the city, soot-covered streets and cars, balconies filled with black gunk and toxic air-filled lungs. And, of course, these toxic chemicals have now led already to acid rain. People who've been hit are being told to stay inside. I don't know how they're supposed to have their revolution and overthrow the government if they're going to be inside and have, like, basically acid oil rain burning their skin. But, Donald Trump didn't think that through. Food supplies, water reservoirs are being contaminated. The sewers are all going to have to be completely cleaned out. Desalination plant in a country with a horrific drought problem is out of commission. So you can, as someone who suffers from asthma, I can only imagine how horrific this is for people who have respiratory diseases, how much more pulmonary and heart disease is going to spread, how much cancer. I mean, this is a war crime by definition. You're not supposed to do this. There's a word for it. It's called ecocide, the deliberate targeting of a facility with the knowledge that you will precipitate an ecological disaster. Obviously, we have no UN worth a shit. There's no international authority that's going to hold anyone to account. UN Security Council won't do dick. And we live in a world where might makes right has never been truer.
I have a question for you, Ted. During the Ukraine war, there's this thing. It's still happening, actually. If the Russians did this to the Yukis, what would the reaction be from the international community?
Outrage.
Because they could. the Russians could 100% do to the Ukrainians what the United States and Israel are doing to Iran right now. So can you explain to me why this double standard exists?
Well, the Yukis kind of tried to do it to the Russians, right? Because the Russians occupy Chernobyl, right? And Zaporozhye, where they have the nuclear plant. And the Ukrainians targeted and have hit those facilities. There was actually International Atomic Energy Commission was concerned that they might create a meltdown. Unfortunately, it didn't happen. I guess nobody cared because it was the Ukrainians, and the Russians would have been Russian-held Ukraine would have been the area that would have been affected. I mean, obviously, it's total hypocrisy. This is the kind of thing. I mean, even Lindsey Graham cautioned that this was going too far.
Well, he doesn't care about the people. He cares about the PR blowback. He doesn't want the Israelis to look any worse in international media than what they already do. So, I mean,
I don't know how it's possible.
Well, I don't know either. I mean, you go out, you commit a genocide, then you drag the world superpower in to go fight a war on your behalf. And I mean, none of that matters. I think he's worried about nothing because honestly, nobody cares. The Gulf states don't care.
Yeah.
As far as I can tell, I could 100% be wrong on this. The Islamic Ummah doesn't care. If they do, why aren't they calling for jihad against Israel? I don't see a call for jihad. I don't see the Muslim world rising up with one voice saying we're going to put an end to this. And there's a billion Muslims. They could do it. Where are they? I don't see anyone.
As you pointed out, I'm a commie. And man, if we ever needed a revolution or 10 of them or 100 of them, it's now. A question for you, Robbie, from Tatum Hedrick. What are the best levers for the people to pull back the fourth branch, the states?
Local elections and vote people into state office who actually understand the concept of states' rights and who are not bought off by lobbies. That's the only hope that we have. Start with your county sheriff, because he's the supreme law enforcement in your county. And then go from there, elect state legislatures that care. Your school board elections matter more than probably any other election in the country. Honestly, people aren't used to hearing that. We always focus on national elections. Mm-hmm. Your local elections are so much more important because they directly impact you and how you live and where you live. And that's how you do it. You have to tear this thing down brick by brick. The question is, do we have the time to do it? It's very, very late in the day, and I don't know.
Beast Mama is asking, do we think that the Middle East region wants U.S. bases to leave? I think it depends on the country, and it depends on, it's a complicated story. People don't speak as one. I think, some countries are more pro-U.S. than others. There's always a split between governments and their people, but that split's different. It's different in Bahrain than it is in Qatar, than it is in Jordan, than it is in the UAE,
Well, I think that the problem with the Islamic countries is the same problem that Europe has. They don't like the ugly American, but they love the security blanket that the ugly American provides. And if the U.S. pulled out, you'd have to defend yourself. And who wants to do that when you can live off the tit of the United States and outsource your security to a foreign power? Militaries are expensive.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, yeah. Militaries are expensive.
And you have to defend yourself. But also a U.S. military base also makes your country a target, as we're seeing right now.
Yeah, to an extent. I mean, sure. I mean, you might get a hotel blown up, but who's going to invade you? The answer is nobody.
Thanks for the $2. Just got a ticket for the Sex Pistols playing San Diego in October. Original members except for John Lydon. Yeah, but saying original members except for John Lydon when you're talking about the Sex Pistols is like saying like founding father does not include Thomas Jefferson. I don't know. You kind of have to have John Lydon. But I saw the Sex Pistols reunion show, I guess this was in 96, I want to say. It was fantastic, but it did have John Lydon. They started about 20 minutes late at Roseland in New York City, and people were getting spicy. And at one point before the concert, Johnny Rotten / Lydon came out, and he's like, "You've already waited 20 fucking years for this. You can wait a few more fucking minutes."
He had to be there. I have a question for you, Ted. This is something I've been thinking about over the weekend. Iran is a BRICS member. Do you see that actually factoring into the equation? Well, Iran's, I guess you can call them allies. I don't really know at this point. Could they meaningfully help Iran? Is there anything they could do economically to assist them besides write a sternly worded letter to the UN, which nobody's going to read?
Well, I mean, in the long run, in the short run, probably not. But in the long run, yeah, if the Iranian government survives, for sure. I mean, they can prop up the Iranian currency. They can provide low interest or zero interest loans. The Chinese can build stuff. The Chinese engineers could go in and help with the cleanup operation. There's a lot of stuff that allied countries could do for sure. I really could see Russia and China stepping forward in a post-war scenario if the U.S. gets the fuck out. I mean, they don't want to risk. Neither President Putin nor Xi want to risk World War III with Donald Trump. But as long as we're there involved in combat operations, they're not going to come. But if things settle down, yeah, I think so. What do you think?
Well, after the fact, sure. But I mean, that's just like me help. That's like me coming to your house with a fire hose after your house is burned down. So, I'm here to help.
Well, I mean, I might need a place to stay. I might need your help to cart stuff away. It's not like there's nothing to do after a situation like that. But I hear you. I take your point. Mark and roll, 95-50-44. Only atheists should hold high offices. Religious fanatics are disqualified.
I laugh at you and Stalin and Mao Zedong.
Question, guys, from Desert Fox. What do you think about the chances of a false flag on U.S. soil?
I mean, if you're going to suspend your elections, you got to do it for national security reasons. And we already had that dude in Texas, running around shooting people and causing all kinds of trouble and havoc. Why can't you do that more? Whether it's a false flag or actual people who just for whatever reason become radicalized and want to go out and just start causing mayhem. Maybe you have yourself a nice attack on Independence Day or something. Who knows?
I just thought it was worth noting. I don't know if there's much commentary to be made, but Robbie, this report from the National Intelligence Council was commissioned before the U.S. and Israeli attack on Iran. And they were asked to say, what do you think is likely to happen from this war? And their assessment was, it's highly unlikely that the Iranian government will be overthrown, even if you kill the Ayatollah. And they knew their own government told them, you're probably not going to get regime change. So is it reasonable to conclude that the Trump administration isn't really that interested in regime change? I mean, look at Venezuela. They weren't really interested in regime change. They were just interested in presidential and first lady kidnapping. People always forget, by the way, we kidnapped Maduro's wife, too. We still have her.
I mean, when it comes to Iran, honestly, I don't think the United States is interested in regime change. I think that we want two things. One, to appease the Israel lobby. We want Iran to stop being a sovereign nation. We want them to give up any semblance of a military. And second, we want them to open up their borders and allow us to send our oil companies in. This is about us taking the oil. It's just like what it was with Venezuela. Trump, he actually had a moment of honesty where he said, we went in there to take the oil. This is about taking the oil because the United States dollar is pegged to the dollar.
By the way, I think John's delay in joining us might be tied into one of the news events. And all over X, I know you've seen this too, Robbie. Republicans have been complaining about the closure of the Department of Homeland Security. There's massive lines at a lot of airports. There was a 5-hour line at some airports over the weekend at TSA, because a lot of TSA officers are involved in a sick out or a slowdown because they're not getting paid. And it's all due to this showdown between the Democrats who've imposed a partial government shutdown over requesting some reforms to ICE that Republicans don't want to grant. I wouldn't be surprised if John is like stuck in TSA hell right now.
Now, I want y'all to think about this real quick. Seriously, I want y'all to think about what Ted just said. The Democrats are having a tantrum doing a partial government shutdown, not over the fact that a imperial president has taken their power and has led us into an undeclared war in violation of the Constitution, but instead are butthurt over enforcement of immigration law. Think about what I just said. They do not care about the economic hardship and pain being inflicted on the American people. They do not care about losing their power to the executive. They do not care about anything except for their pet topics. That is unsustainable. And that's why you cannot explain to me why I should vote for either party.
Well, as you know, Robbie, I think ICE is really out of control. And even you've agreed about that, that their tactics suck. Yeah,
because they are.
And but I take your broader point here, which is that, this is a look, as heinous as ICE has been, this issue with Iran is a lot bigger. And it has much bigger repercussions in terms of murdering innocent people in Iran and not just schoolgirls. I count everybody. I mean, one of the things I don't like is like, well, look, it's just children and women and children are getting injured. Look, even when we blow up like a member of the Revolutionary Guards, that dude is just doing his fucking job and means no harm to us at all. And we have no business killing him, right? But yeah. But you're right about the economics. Speaking of which, it looks like the stock fall off has pretty much leveled off for today, but it's not pretty. Dow Jones Industrial Average currently at 46,794 with a 1.5% drop. That's a 700-point fall. Just bear in mind, we were at 50,000. Now we're well under 47,000. So the Dow is going to... just one thing after another. Oil is over, well over $100 a barrel. It peaked out at 120 a barrel at one point in futures trading. So, I mean, we're going to have to bring Achilles back and have to explain to people a little bit about, like, Achilles' job is to help people manage who have money manage their money. He's not here to discredit capitalism. That's my job.
More and more, it's my job.
right. Yeah, apparently. Matina, question for me. Is this about making the dollar stronger? The war? I don't think it will. I mean, there's the scenario in the old days was with the petrodollar that, the idea was that higher oil prices propped up the dollar. But we don't have that. We don't live in that world anymore. So, and also, I don't think the United States wants a strong dollar because that discourages, people trade with other countries. A strong dollar makes U.S. goods more expensive, and we're like, this president is obsessed with the trade imbalances. Well, I mean, a stronger dollar is not going to help with that. What do you think?
What goods do we make? I mean, serious question. What do we make here? Do we make shoes in this country? Do we make electronics? Do we make cell phones? Do we make TVs? Do we actually build 100% of our cars here? What do we build?
We still make things, but far fewer than we used to, obviously.
Trump's biggest betrayal, Trump's biggest lie was that when he first ran in 2016, when I supported him, I was one of Trump's biggest supporters. He said, I am going to bring all of these jobs back and I am going to be laser focused on the American people. He won me in 2016 on that Valentine's Day debate where he called George W. Bush a war criminal to Jeb's face.
It was beautiful.
And I'm like, yes, that's the man for me. Now, here we are almost 10 years later and Trump has completely betrayed his country. He's betrayed his base. He has betrayed his oath. And for what? Our economy is weaker. No jobs have come back. We are now fighting other countries' wars again. We are still supporting Europe's defense again. We are in a proxy war with Russia that Trump has not ended after saying he would end it in a day, which, by the way, he could by cutting off the Yukis. He won't do it. And now we're fighting a war for his butt buddy, BB. I mean,
I have nothing to add to that because I agree with you.
The dollar's screwed. What supports it? It's a lead-based standard. We don't have an oil-based standard anymore. It's a lead-based standard. You do what we say or we delete you.
That's true. So Vilmar Air, what's the off-ramp for Trump at this point? canceling the elections. Thanks for thoughts on potential Samson option. Yeah, well, that would be like where the Israelis decide to like basically go full, use their nuclear weapons. I think it's entirely possible, right? I mean, although I don't think we're there yet. It's not likely. Possible and likely are not the same thing. We got to talk about Cuba in the 5 minutes we have left, Robbie. And you have all the stuff you need for the raid, I assume?
Yep, I'm getting it all put together as we speak.
Okay, cool. All right, so yes, Robbie, thanks for the dollar from Unsung Pat. I told you it would happen and you heard it, read it, but you can call me anti-Semitic. It was anti-Semitic. Regret it. Nope, said it. Yep, we have to tear this motherfucker up. Ice cube, I think you mean. Yeah. Trent is, of course, our other producer. Robbie, what do you think about reports that U.S. commanders are openly invoking Armageddon as an event? Since you're an evangelical, you know this whole statement.
I think it's irresponsible, and I think it's stupid, and people who are saying this have no idea what the Bible says.
Go ahead.
Well, it's... First of all, there was a Battle of Armageddon during World War I, and that did not bring about the end of the world. Armageddon happens after the millennial reign of Christ. Armageddon does not happen before that. So trying to force it is not going to make it happen, and Jesus does not need your help, by the way, to come back. He will do it on his timetable when he's ready to, because he is God.
Oh, there is that, right? There is that. Okay, so let's talk about Cuba. So... there's reporting. I mean, of course, this is sort of like one of those reports that might come and go and like, you know, there'll never be any follow up and we'll never hear anything back. But according to USA Today, they're reporting that their Trump administration is leaking information about negotiations for between President Miguel Díaz-Canel, where he would basically agree to resign. The Castro family would be allowed to remain on Cuba if they would like to. And that basically Cuba would turn into a vassal state. All of its ports, energy, and tourism would basically become U.S. property to be looted and exploited. It would essentially return to the state that it was under Batista in the 1950s and before the communist revolution in the late 1950s. It's gross. I believe the reporting. How likely do you think this is to happen?
I mean, it depends on how distracted the United States gets fighting Israel's wars for it. I mean, if the United States could focus, the Cuba would no longer be an independent state by now. They've already been collapsed. They've already be over. The one thing that the Cubans have going for them is that the American foreign policy apparatus is effectively autistic. We cannot stick to one coherent policy for more than 20 minutes. We're all over the world playing whack-a-mole, fighting invisible enemies that only they can see for special interests that pay them. And so if there's one thing that the Cubans have going for them, it's not their geography. It's not their natural resources. They don't have any. It's the ineptitude of the American foreign policy blob.
Well, we shall see what happens there. Thanks, everyone, for watching the program with Ted Rall and John Kiriakou. I'm assuming John will be back in. I'm sure he'll be back tomorrow. He's stuck between planes. Never heard back from from my texts and phone calls. And not everything's marked undelivered. So he's obviously stuck on a plane somewhere or in a TSA checkpoint from hell. Hope there's no strip searching going on. Please stay tuned to the TMI show with Manila Chan and myself, and producer Robbie West will be there too. If you are on YouTube and you want to become a tier two donor member, you click that membership tab, choose tier two. You will be in the closing credits as a thank you. I'm about to play those credits right now, so you'll see exactly what you'd be getting. Thanks, Robbie.